It's episode 161 of the HodgePodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
Spot on.
He's back.
And on this episode, it's finally our best of 2017 films.
Sort of, because I haven't seen them all.
Because he hasn't seen them all. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. Or head on over to Facebook. Search for the HodgePodge Podcast. And like our page.
I'm going to be real upset if you don't use Peaches and Herb Reunited as the opening song.
I don't use any music anymore. Because it gets kicked back. It gets kicked back in YouTube. So when I post them to YouTube. But it gets kicked back. Yes, Dirty A is back. Welcome back, Dirty A.
All right.
It's my special guest, Dirty A. and this is our best of 2017 films, and we got a lot to talk about.
How about that Star Wars?
How about that Star Wars? The trailer for Han Solo came out.
Yeah, that Super Bowl special
looks good.
Decent. I mean, you know, it's hard to.
Yeah.
It's a teaser.
Yeah, for like a minute 40.
He looks good.
Yeah.
As Solo for the most part.
And Donald Glover looks perfect.
Spot on. As is great.
And Juno Sumonto looks great as Chewbacca.
I mean, I was like, is that. You know,
is that
Peter Mayhew in there?
I don't know. But no, it looks like it'll be good. We'll see what happens.
Should be a fun time. Hopefully. I'm hoping that they get a good mix in there. I hope it's pretty lighthearted along with a good action. Like, I hope they don't.
Entertainment Weekly on their cover said it's the funniest Star
Wars. I hope they don't try to take it too seriously, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's that news. What else is going on? Men are still being rooted out in Hollywood.
Yeah. new Deadpool trailer.
Yeah, Deadpool trailer. We finally got to see Cable, which is funny.
Yeah.
Now, that's just lazy writing.
That's just lazy.
That's my favorite line.
Yeah, that was good.
That's just lazy
writing. Of course, I like, my favorite, of course, was, it's not like you had to scrub off a mustache.
Yeah, right. Speaking of that, apparently there was a story on IO9 where some kid or somebody used like a $500 used laptop and did a better job than they did with their millions of dollars they threw at that shit. Fucking
Jesus.
Oh, and it's a good thing you mentioned that because... That's the other big story that's floating around right now. It's being talked about that the possibility exists that Zack Snyder did not leave willingly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
just and then he was fired.
Some exec that was recently fired who just didn't give a fuck kind of let it drop that he was fired a good month or two before from the picture. So who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Truth probably lies somewhere in between.
Probably. Yeah, yeah.
How about that Quincy Jones article?
I saw something about that.
Everything in the kitchen sink, he blew up everything. He was like, the Beatles suck.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's like they're not musicians. The fucking Ringo couldn't, you know, bang two drums together. Like, it was just like an old man rant.
Right.
It was so funny.
It's like, you know, you see these things happen with, like, and, like, old actors and stuff like that. And you're just like, maybe they should... curb their efforts on extending human life. Yeah. Maybe it should be, you know, keep it around a certain age. Yeah, there's too much to talk about, so let's just jump into this shit.
In full disclaimer, I did not see, like, Call Me By My Name. I didn't
see that either.
I didn't see Lady Bird, and I didn't see the Phantom Thread.
Okay.
So
Phantom Thread
they're all
is,
out for me.
I will have a review for Phantom Thread up soon. I've just been busy doing other shit. Phantom Thread was good. Best Picture, I don't know, but it was good. And he was great in it. There's a really fucked up twist, but it's a good movie. It's definitely worth seeing.
It's the twist that Daniel Day-Lewis actually is the character he's playing in the movie, and he's been portraying Daniel Day-Lewis for
No, this isn't an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be the greatest twist of all time.
No. But Phantom Thread was good. Lady Bird, we may discuss in this.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I know you told me I needed to see that one. I just didn't get around to it.
So, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I can
do
it. Whatever. Let's see what comes out of my mouth first, because
right,
my 10th one, it could have gone to any right. three movies.
So, for anybody who hasn't listened to our other ones, but if you haven't, I don't know why you're listening to this. 10 movies, we each pick 10 movies, yeah. and we go in reverse order from 10 to 1.
Yeah. And my list is generally better. If you haven't been listening, that's just what you should know up front.
That's not true.
So just know that up front. No, my list, honestly, this year, probably a lot of years, but this year is almost more by feels than it mm-hmm. is by
I got a couple of those in here.
You know, presentation yeah. of the movie, be a film versus movie right. kind of thing. I just kind of went with
right.
how I felt this year. So we'll get to what could have been, and I guess we'll do a little honorable mention.
Oh yeah, I had yeah. I told
it
you
it was real tough this year.
It was there were a lot of great movies this year. Yeah. I told you that I had 16 films that I graded an A- or higher.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's a crazy that's a crazy. And then there were like a ton of B pluses.
Yeah,
you know that
our list know. Will be a lot different. I have probably a feeling so. Probably. So my number 10, I went back and forth flip flopping so many different times, but in the end, I'm going with this one because I did love it, and it was the one that I ended up seeing more than once. So, my number 10 movie is It.
Oh, okay. All right. You mentioned that would probably make your list.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed It.
I know you did. Yeah,
first of all, we all know I'm a hard nut, so I'm biased anyway. Right. So, and actually, I've got a few horror movies on here.
Oh, okay.
I've actually even got a couple sequels.
Oh, well, that's going to be... Then our lists are not going to be the same at all this
yeah.
year.
Yeah, so it's hard-pressed to know that a sequel might make a top 10 list of the year. But anyway, of course, because it's horror. Of course, right. because it's an adaptation that was done better than an adaptation I even already liked a lot.
You know, the TV version.
But it was more than a horror movie. It was right. it was a coming of age story. Mm-hmm. It was, I think Stephen King probably be proud of this one.
Right.
I mean, he's always going to say that. But he'd be proud of this one. There are some very distinct and really unnecessary changes mm-hmm. between the novel and
right.
and this story. But it works on so many levels. It's funny.
It works.
It's funny. It's scary. It's kind of one of those timeless tales of kids,
right.
you know, having orgies.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know right. why they left that out. You know, I'm going to have to
mark it down some points.
Soapbox on that a little bit. You know what? Scratch it all that just because of that. So yeah, that's my number 10 is It. Okay.
My number 10, I also went back and forth with one movie that will be in my honorable mentions. But my number 10 is Darkest Hour. Just saw that recently. As you said, you saw it before me, that it is a great companion piece to Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk.
Very much so.
I understand why some people are kind of, you know, not into it because they're like, because it doesn't show the whole portrait of Churchill, but
no, it's a moment in time.
Right. Right.
Adaptation or right. portrayal story of him.
And, but Gary Oldman is so good in this.
It's a really good movie. It's a great movie.
It's a really good movie.
And it is a super companion. If you see this, you need to see Dunkirk. Yeah. If you see Dunkirk, you should see this. Yeah. I mean,
it was just really, really well done. Even like, you know, because I think some people were kind of like, you know, given Joe Wright, who was the director, giving him a hard time for some stuff. And he had some great, neat shots in this and stuff. It's some real good photography in this. It was really, really good.
It's really good. You know, I get why there's a large portion that will just find this boring because it is right. just history.
Right.
The only reason this doesn't make my top 10 list because of the really steep competition that right. we had this year
right.
is because I gave this movie more towards the acting of Oldman versus the right. story of
right.
The Darkest Hour being
right.
told.
Right.
The acting of Gary Oldman was just off phenomenal. The charts.
Yeah, he's going to win the Oscar for sure.
I really don't.
If he doesn't, that's a huge upset.
Yeah, I agree. But this was more, for me, when I was trying to just figure this out in my head, so obviously this does make my honorable mention list, it came down to I took this more for a vehicle of Oldman's talent versus right. the story being told, right. which is not a bad story, by the way. It's just right. that's just right. subjective right there. So that's your number 10, is right. Darkest Hour. All right, so that's your number 10. What's your number 9?
We have a small audience here right now. My number 9 is a movie that we talked about just a second ago.
Did we?
Lady Bird.
Okay.
This is Greta Gerwig. She wrote and directed it.
I thought it was great.
You didn't see it. Oh. And you just said you didn't see it. So, And Saoirse Ronan plays Lady Bird in it. She is fantastic.
Kill anybody?
No.
Well.
No. Different movie. Different movie. Eric Bana's not in this. And who else is in this? Of course, I'm blanking now.
See Doug's review for who is in Lady Bird.
What's a... God damn it.
I mean, I can't help you out here. I didn't see the movie.
Roseanne.
Barr?
No. Her sister.
What's oh, Arquette?
No. What?
What? Are you talking about Roseanne?
Roseanne the show, but her sister on the show.
Oh, Laura Metcalf.
Laura Metcalf. Thank you.
I was like, what are you talking about, man?
Laura Metcalf plays... Thanks.
So I was right when I said Barr.
Yeah, sure. Laura Metcalf plays Lady Bird's mother. She's great in this. I think she got nominated as well for Best Supporting Actress. And it's a real great coming-of-age story, mother-daughter story. One of my absolute favorite supporting actors, you know, character actors, Tracy Letts is in this. He plays the father. And it's just a really, really great story all the way around. If you haven't seen Lady Bird, go see Lady Bird. If this turns out to win Best Picture, I would not be angry about it. It's really that good.
Wow. So you think it might win Best Picture, but it's your number 9.
Well, because, I mean, obviously I'm pulling for something else. But
because right, you had you to know, make room for Spider-Man up there at number 5 or something like that, right?
It's not number 5.
So my
number 1.
So, yeah, Matt has joined us to let him know what his number 1 pick for the year is.
It's Spider-Man
Homecoming.
And he hasn't seen any of the other movies.
No, and no other movie can. No other movie matters.
It's also my one movie of the year.
Right.
What about Guardians?
Number 2.
Yeah. So
what about Logan?
Didn't rank.
Oh, yeah. So my number nine movie is definitely a movie you did not put on your list or see. It is It Comes at Night.
I was going to say, what?
It Comes at Night is a movie that came out right in the right early summertime.
Right.
With Joel Edgerton. And I'm pretty sure it was a first time director.
Can't remember.
But it was a super great suspenseful thriller slash horror.
It was more of a thriller, less of a horror.
It leaned more towards thriller than horror.
They tried to make people think it was a horror.
The trailer leaned more towards being horror than suspense thriller, but it really was vice versa. And it was awesome. It was edge of your seat thriller. It kind of reminded me, it's odd that it reminds me of this because I didn't like this movie near as much as you did. But it reminds me of a dark version of what was that movie last year, 2 years ago? The post-apocalyptic movie. Good Dinosaur, yes.
Z for Zachariah.
It reminds me of a real dark version of Z for Decker.
That movie was pretty dark.
It's a horror-y version of that, if you will, right? But it's a phenomenal movie, and I would recommend it specifically because it didn't get a lot of mention elsewhere. But I thought it was great. I loved it.
Right. Cool. And your number 8.
Oh, right. Now we're back to my number 8. My number 8 movie is a sequel.
Ooh.
That came out in February, March, maybe. We both actually really enjoyed it.
Yep.
It's Trainspotting 2.
Yep.
And I really, really like this movie. And I like the first one a lot, but this one just was one of those sequels where it just really took the original material that was, you know, 20 years old.
Yeah.
And it just really heightened it, took it that much further, you know.
Yeah.
Danny Boyle, writer director, he killed it.
Right.
And basically,
did he write the script?
He co-wrote the script,
right,
I believe. I'm pretty sure. I mean, obviously it was based on like
right.
a novel,
right?
But
right.
the screenplay,
right?
Yeah. But this is based. This has got a slew of who's who of British actors, cast members.
Right.
Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
What's it? Kevin McKidd.
Right. No, he wasn't in this one, was he?
Yeah. Oh no, because he was dead.
He was dead.
Yeah, he was dead in this one. Yeah. Tommy Lee Miller, who played
yeah.
Sherlock from
Johnny Lee.
Johnny Lee Miller. I don't know these people's names clearly. They're British, man. What do you want from me? But my favorite is Robert Carlyle.
Right.
Who's just awesome as Begbie in these
yeah.
films. But this movie just kind of is a,
not
is a
Spud,
good.
Spud wasn't your favorite?
No. I do like Spud a lot. I do like Spud a lot. Who played Spud? That's
I forget his name. He was also in Wonder Woman.
Yes, he was. Anyway, it's a very good bookend to the story that tells about some heroin users,
right?
Later in their lives,
yeah.
and how they've come to how they've lived their lives, and how they've either beat their demons or embraced their demons,
right?
I just really loved it. I thought it
yeah.
was an excellent movie. I didn't know what to expect. I was excited for it, but also I did not expect it to be near as good as it was.
Right. Yeah, that made my honorable mention list.
Okay.
I really
wow.
liked that movie a lot, too.
Yeah.
I think I actually liked it better than the original, honestly.
I did. I liked the original, but this just was next level.
It was so good. And
yeah.
I almost put it on my list, but it's just like there was just like you said,
so much,
so
yeah.
many good movies.
Well,
this
it
year.
Made mine, so we're okay.
Well, we're good. Okay, so my number seven is a movie you saw recently.
Oh, would it be your number eight?
You're right. This is my number eight. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Look at me coming back in and just
shut up. So my number eight is a movie you just saw recently, and it is Pixar's Coco.
Wow.
Remember
Me. 10.
Remember Me. I loved it. I thought it was great. This was a movie that we were kind of not wary about, but we were like, the
Untrue.
Trailers are okay.
The trailer did nothing for me.
Right.
Like I said, I just saw the movie because
right.
I didn't give, the trailer
right.
didn't make me give two shits about
right.
this movie.
And it's really, really
yeah.
good.
To be fair, it's hard to do a trailer for this movie
right.
without giving
away the twist. Right,
yeah.
yeah. But it's a really, really great movie. A very, I liked how it you know, embraced the Mexican culture and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was very authentic.
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
And the voice cast was great. It was just a really, really heartwarming movie.
I didn't like it, obviously, near as much as
right.
you, but I did enjoy it a lot. I put it in the middle, maybe the higher middle of the Pixar movies for me.
Right.
But it's a really good movie.
Yeah,
definitely
Coco was great.
It. Yeah.
It was really great.
If that doesn't, I don't know how that doesn't win Best Animated Picture.
Oh, yeah. That's a no-brainer. My number seven is another movie you mentioned as a joke, you son of a bitch. It's
mm-hmm.
Spider-Man Home.
Yeah, imagine that. Pretty close. Not too far off, guys. Not too far off.
When we did our review with that bum Matt King, you know, I said it then, and I'll say it again. This is the greatest Spider-Man movie.
It's weird. He was the only one that hated the movie. We were like, how great it was.
Yes.
He was talking about how much he hated it and what a disservice it was to Spider-Man.
His favorite Spider-Man was the 1970s
it's
TV
a super show. Great, it's a super great movie.
It's great.
It's clearly the best Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Great
cast.
Get Peter Parker right. They get
yeah.
Spider-Man right. They get the villain right
yeah.
for once.
I believe
they keep the villain grounded.
Right.
Not literally.
Right.
but they keep it small, right? They don't try to make it some world-bending villain.
Yeah. So. I believe the actor's name is Tom Holland. And he is Spider-Man and Peter Parker. He's
yeah.
great. Marissa Tomei, hot Marissa Tomei is hot Aunt May. And the kid who played Ned is great. Jacob Batalon, he's great.
Michael Keaton stole the show.
Michael Keaton's
movie.
Fantastic. He's
really
good.
The scene with Tom Holland and Michael Keaton in the car
yeah,
after
so
that
great.
was
so
such,
good.
A great scene.
Such a great
it
scene.
It was amazing.
And the best part was it was funny. It was a really
it was.
Like when they said they were trying to make a superhero John Hughes movie, I was like, this is gonna be terrible.
It's what a comic book movie
and
should
was,
be, really.
And it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. They did it.
Yeah.
They knocked it out of the park and it was fantastic.
That said, didn't make my list.
Well, because
yeah.
you have no soul.
Right.
So that was my number seven. Right. What's your number
seven? My number seven is also a movie that came out in February, very early on, by first-time director Mr. Jordan Peele.
Oh, right, okay.
Get Out.
Yep.
Was my number seven.
Did not make my list. I liked it, but it...
It's not your
Well, it's not my thing. You know what it was for me? It was the twist, like what they were actually doing.
But that's what made it the horror movie that it was.
Yeah, I know, but see, I wanted it to be more.
You wanted it to stay grounded as a thriller.
More grounded, yeah. I wanted it to be less.
And that's why I liked it. I liked it because that's what made it the horror movie that it was supposed to be.
But it was really good.
But yeah, it was his directorial debut. He's gotten great accolades for it. I mean, he's nominated.
He is, yeah. He's nominated for Best Director.
For Best Director.
And Best Picture.
And Screenplay, yeah. So, and deserved, I think. I think he did a great job here. The story made this movie. The acting was really good. Mm-hmm. But this was all about the social commentary within the story. And if you haven't seen it, I'd suggest you check it out.
Oh, yeah, definitely check it out. Definitely see Get Out. It's worth it. It's worth your time.
Yeah, and it was considered a horror movie, but there really weren't many jump out at you scary parts. And the ones that were, it was more just something creepy happened. And it was an audio cue that told you to be scared. But if you're, I'm not a horror movie fan myself.
Yeah, I know. From when you jumped in my lap.
Yes.
When we watched.
Yes, strange man who just walked into my house.
when we went and saw. Not a horror movie, but what's that movie? The End of the World.
That's the other one. That's
This is the end.
This is the end.
And freaking hell dogs jump up, and Luke about jumps in my lap.
That movie was fucking scary. But as someone that doesn't like scary horror movies, this was quite enjoyable.
This was mostly a thriller up until the last 20 minutes makes it a horror movie.
Basically. This is our buddy Luke. Yeah. Luke, say hello to everybody.
Hello.
This is one of two movies Luke saw this year. Three movies that Luke saw this year.
I'll be back for the other one.
Yeah,
he won't be back for the other one.
So yeah, that's Get Out is my number seven.
Right. Okay. Great.
My number six, also a sequel.
Ooh. Okay.
In a trilogy that we have loved.
Oh, okay.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Amazing movie.
It was great.
It's not as good as its predecessors.
No.
But I still love it. Well, okay, not as good
it's
as... Sorry.
Second best.
So, second best. Sorry. Not as good as the second one.
Right.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah. Right. Rise of the Planet of the Apes is definitely the lower.
And somebody made a good point that they should have rearranged all those names. Like, none of them make any sense.
Right.
Like, Rise should have been...
Dawn should have been the first one.
Yeah, Rise should have been the next... Well, no, that could have been War, because that's when the war started,
yeah.
And then Rise could have been
this
one. Yeah.
Anyway, this one makes sense to be called War, because it's literally the war element.
Mm, yeah,
technically.
But, right.
I mean, that's what the movie's about.
Right.
It's not what it's about, but that's the focus.
Right.
This movie, again, talk about bookends that do an amazing job of finishing off a series. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And Woody Harrelson, who could have just phoned it in as a one-dimensional character, really gave a great portrayal as a villain here.
Yeah, he was great.
You get a lot of sides to him. You understand.
Mm-hmm.
You understand him. You hate him. But you understand why he sides where he does.
Right.
It's a great ending for his character in the movie without giving it away. Of course, Andy Serkis's Caesar kills it.
Yeah, he's great.
Great. And I was on the edge of my seat the whole time, because I was just like, when are they going to off my man? When are they going to off Maurice? The whole time I was just expecting he's been so lovable. They're killing Maurice.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, they did not.
Yeah, Maurice lives.
But I love that movie.
Yeah, War for the Planet of the Apes was really good. Also on my honorable mention list. It just didn't crack the list this year. But it was fantastic. It was really, really good.
So the audience is now getting a feel for why my list is better.
Not really.
Continue.
Not really.
So what's your number six?
My number six is a movie that we both really enjoyed. It's probably higher on your list, I would hope. And that is Edgar Wright's Baby Driver. Baby Driver. Oh, did it not make your list? Are you that mad at Kevin Spacey?
Boycott. Boycott.
Baby Driver was fantastic. It was
great.
And actually, I'm kind of mad that Edgar Wright didn't get any real recognition for that movie.
I'm surprised a writing credit or something.
I mean,
I don't know.
Each of them nominated for Best Director.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
It's a great movie. It's a funny, action-packed. It's got great characters. Ansel Elgort plays Baby, the main character. He's great. Lily James, who was also in Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
She plays Deborah, the waitress. John Hamm does his best work since Mad Men in this. And Kevin Spacey, yes. I mean, you know, he's a scumbag now. We know he's a scumbag. But he's great in this movie.
His acting ability.
He's great in this movie. John Bernthal was really good in this movie. And Jamie Foxx.
Well, I think I said the whole cast was great. Yeah. The only one cast member I just didn't care for that much. And it's just because, simply because it wasn't a lot to her. And that was John Hamm's
girlfriend.
You know, but that's neither here nor there. Great movie. And it's different. It's so different than anything else we saw this year.
It was very refreshing.
It's funny because it was a it was kind of a blockbuster. But it was also the way it was filmed, it was still kind of avant-garde a little bit.
Yeah, indie blockbuster.
Yeah, it was
kind of
really
like
weird.
That.
I love the opening sequence where there's graffiti on the wall that's really neat. So yeah, that is a good movie.
So that's my number 6.
That was your number 6.
My number 5 is a movie that, shockingly, was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay for the Oscars. And that is James Mangold, Logan. This was...
I'm sorry, let me translate if you couldn't hear that. Boo! Clearly you mean the black and white version of Logan, which was later released and far superior to the originally released full color version.
This was Hugh Jackman's last go as Wolverine, because apparently Sebastian Stan was at some convention recently or something, and he said, no, he's thinking about it, because the Disney Marvel, the Disney Fox,
a lot of doors have opened up now.
Yeah, so the last thing I saw, Hugh Jackman said absolutely not, but now they're saying...
Yeah.
Who knows? So
he's still ready to make Wolverine the musical.
Yes.
He's on board for that totally.
Right. Great script, great story. It was very much outside the X-Men universe, much like Deadpool was.
Yeah. It's periphery.
Actually, I shouldn't say that, because Deadpool has Colossus in it and shit like that. Yeah. But Patrick Stewart was fantastic, and this is Professor X.
It's not outside the universe, but it's outside the main realm
of what's going on. Exactly. Patrick Stewart was fantastic as Professor X.
Oh, man. I was super excited to finally see him, like, the way they portrayed him. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I didn't expect him to be so completely vulnerable.
Right.
It was really good.
A lot of people thought he should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor, honestly.
Okay. I don't know about that.
He was really good. Yeah. Hugh Jackman was fantastic in this. Daphne Keene, the little girl who plays X-23 or Laura, is fantastic.
Who we'll never see again.
Probably not now. Now that Fox is probably going to get sold to Disney. If that gets approved, that deal gets approved. But no, it was a great, great send-off for Wolverine and Hugh Jackman. And just a really, really spectacular film.
Yeah, that makes my long list of... honorable mentions, but nowhere near cracking my top 10.
How dare you?
Sorry, yeah. Nowhere near cracking my top 10, but it is a really good movie.
Get out of my house!
It's a really good movie, but only if you see the black and white version, which is far superior than the... Anyway, that was your number
five.
It's Baby Driver?
For me, yeah.
Right. My number 6, I guess. Right?
Or no, you already gave a 6.
Oh,
that was
so this would be not... Okay, this would be my number...
Oh.
My number five is a movie we saw at the end of the summer that we both really loved, and it was super quiet sleeper that I don't think anyone else saw.
I don't think so either.
I'm talking about Wind River.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wind River.
That was the movie that was flipping back and
loved
forth
it.
For me.
Yeah. I loved this movie.
It's my honorable mention.
It was... just phenomenal for me. Yeah. Jeremy Renner, probably the best work I've ever seen him do.
This and Hurt Locker, yeah.
I like this better than Hurt Locker. Well, I mean, his role,
right?
I still enjoyed it. This portrayal better.
Right.
I thought there was a lot more dimensions here. Mm-hmm. Not to take anyway from him in Hurt Locker, which is excellent. But was this a first time director too?
I believe, Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah,
who wrote Sicario and Hell or High Water,
which ought to tell you the pedigree that this movie is coming from.
But this is his first feature directorial movie, and he's also wrote the sequel
to
Sicario, Soldado, which comes out in the summer.
So excited, fucked up.
But
it looks really that tells you how good a writing this movie had. And he, as a first time director, he killed it too.
Yeah.
A stunning scenery.
Yeah.
This takes place in the wilderness of northern Wisconsin, on an Indian reservation.
No, Wisconsin. No, it wasn't like Montana or something like that. Or
I thought it was Wisconsin. Was it Montana?
I think it was more close to the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, okay.
I think
I don't know. Maybe. We'll fact check that. Figure that out. But either way, it takes place on a frigid Indian reservation,
right?
Where basically. In terms of the government and law, no one gives a fuck what's going on.
Yes,
they are their own entity. They are their own. They govern themselves. They have their own police.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is there is a girl found dead,
mm-hmm.
and they call in Jeremy. The police call in Jeremy Renner, who is a tracker, a former tracker, to come in and figure out what happened. And the story that unfolds is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Wyoming.
I knew it was a W.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, Wisconsin. That's
you're right. Wisconsin makes no sense, but I knew it was a W.
Green Bay.
Wyoming. But I don't want to give away this movie.
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah.
See our podcast about it. But it's
awesome. Definitely have to see it.
Wonderful movie.
Yeah.
See Wind Wither.
So that's definitely your number five.
That's my number five. So my number four will be kind of pump faked you a little bit before this. Baby Driver is my number four. Baby Driver is my number four. So we already talked about that. That's right. That'll move the chains.
All right, so your number four is Baby Driver.
Yeah, so what is your number four?
My number four is a movie that nobody's going to have on their top 10 list. And I don't even think you saw it, I don't think. This was a movie that really spoke to me. It just really hit me, where I live. It's Brad Status.
I realized this week that I still haven't seen that.
Mike White was the writer-director on this. It stars Ben Stiller in probably the best performance I've ever seen him give.
Damn.
He's fantastic.
I want to see it.
And he plays a middle-aged father. Jenna Fisher plays his wife. And he's taking his kid, I forget the actor's name, but he's great in this too, who's like kind of like a musical prodigy, to look at schools. And he's basically having a midlife crisis where he is concerned. All his friends from college are all these like super successful people. And he is running a nonprofit and feels like his life is kind of going nowhere. Obviously not realizing what he does have. And then, of course, the people who are successful are not nearly as well off as he thinks they are. So it was just a really well-written movie, really smart, great script. And it was just it just kind of like spoke to me because, I think we've all had those feelings when you're on Facebook and you're like, oh man, Jimmy's doing that. Oh, I'm doing nothing over here. It's a really, really spoke to me. It was a really, really good movie.
Awesome.
I'm surprised it's
so high up on your list.
Yeah.
The trailer definitely, it was a great trailer. It was funny, poignant. It grabbed me.
Yeah.
The trailer grabbed me and I just never got around to seeing it.
It's really
it's
good.
One of many
I believe it's on Blu-ray.
It's one of many movies that this year I just haven't gotten around to seeing for.
So that's my number four.
So what is your number three?
My number three is a movie that may just win the best picture. And that is Guillermo del Toro.
But again, it's only your number three.
Right.
Lady Bird May, that's your number nine.
I don't think Paul Thomas Anderson has a shot.
Phantom Thread? Nah.
No, Phantom Thread doesn't have a shot. Lady Bird could do it because of what she represents, Greta Gerwig, Get Out could win because of what he represents.
Yeah.
And
let's face it, this got the most nominations. Let's face it, there's no rhyme or reason.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
So. But Shape of Water is my number three. this movie was, and the only reason why I gave it an A-, I didn't give it an A, is there's that one scene, which makes sense in the context of the film. It's the musical scene.
Oh, see, I like that.
See, it makes sense in the context of the film, but the thing for me is that it ruined the illusion for me, especially of the creature.
It ruined the illusion of a sea creature that's been...
it did. Because the sea creature, in that scene, he looks totally like a guy in a suit. And I'm just like... Yeah. And I understand what he was going for, and it works in the context of the film because she loves musicals and she communicates. Yeah. You know, so it totally made sense. But for me, it just kind of took me
out. I thought it was great. I love that scene. Let me ask you a question. Do you like fish sticks?
Do you like fish sticks in your mouth? It's a really beautiful film. Del Toro is a master. I mean, he's just amazing. And like, I've been watching a lot of these like round table things that they do, like the Hollywood Reporter does them. They just did one at the Directors Guild. It was like a 2.5, almost like a 3-hour thing. I just had it running while I was at work, and it's all the not all the Oscar nominated, because it had it was the Directors Guild nominees. Which is Nolan, Del Toro, Gerwig, Peele, and Martin McDonagh for Three Billboards.
Yeah.
He was nominated for Directors Guild. Paul Thomas Anderson was nominated for the Oscar, and it was just how he explained how they did like the floating scenes and stuff like that. He said, it's called Dry for Wet. He's like, everything was suspended on cables, even her. And it was like incredible, like the way he was describing
it. It's a phenomenal movie. Yeah. Loved it. Yeah. You know, a movie has broken that top echelon when it gets a dildo made for it.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's when you know. That's when you know.
Way to ruin it.
So that's, you know, like, not for me personally, but it's tainted a little bit now because there's rumors that Del Toro stole the idea, at least of the story from movie from the 40s or something.
Yeah,
Sally
Hawkins plays a janitor who is at this secret site,
government facility. Yeah,
she's deaf. No, she's mute. She's mute. And Octavia Spencer plays her best friend who works there. Michael Shannon is fantastic as the villain.
He's awesome. AKA Luke Payne.
That's right. And Michael Stuhlbarg is also great in it as one of the doctors that works there. I could have sworn the guy with the glasses was Bradley Whitford. I kept on. I'm like, is that?
Oh,
Bradley
yeah,
Whitford?
No.
But it's not
no,
him.
No,
I was
no,
like, Bradley
no.
Whitford?
I can see why you'd
say
that.
Yeah. But
Bradley Whitford was too busy getting eaten by Merman. Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, okay.
Cabin in the Woods.
And
I got a chuckle back there. He was
also busy being misogynist in The Post.
That's true.
What they're saying is that there was another story about a janitor and a thing, and the people were like
a mute janitor who
was
had
a mute janitor.
Yes,
I forget.
Mute janitor who had a relationship with a dolphin, not like a sexual relationship,
right?
But,
right,
formed a bond,
and I think somebody else said there was another story that has it. They said it's a common trope.
I don't care. This movie's great.
It's a great
movie. Del Toro's great. He's proven himself that he doesn't plagiarize.
Right.
I mean, have you seen Pan's Labyrinth? For God's sake.
Eyeballs on your palms.
Yeah. It's a great movie. I don't know. May hear that again. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah. So my number three.
Yes.
Was just referenced. My number three is Three Billboards.
Oh, okay.
In Ebbing, Missouri, I think that's what the full title is.
Yeah.
I loved everything about this movie. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first time I saw it, I didn't even see the whole thing. I had to go back again. And it was a great movie.
It's really good.
The acting, all of it.
Yeah, everybody was great. Everybody was great.
Frances McDormand, who was nominated, she will very likely win. You got Woody Harrelson, who's up for supporting actor, as along with his castmate,
Sam Rockwell,
who is just gold. Anything he's in is great, and I think he could win.
He could win.
It's a great movie. It's got a there's no real twist. It's just a nice linear, a little.
There is a twist.
You know what? You're right. There is a twist, but it's a linear story that's about a heartbreaking. heartbreaking tale of a woman who has lost her daughter, raped and killed, and she doesn't feel the police are in the small little town.
By a fish man.
She lives in. Yep, by a fish man. Yeah. Have done enough. So she buys up some billboard space that's being unused and starts, you know, asking questions like, why hasn't anything been done? Right. I'm looking at you, Sheriff.
Right.
Whatever.
Willoughby.
Willoughby. And, you know, Woody Harrelson plays the sheriff.
Right.
I thought it was a great performance by him.
No, he was great.
I was blown away.
Yeah. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. The only problem I had with it is that the ending didn't... Totally, they didn't stick the landing for me.
I thought it was real poignant. I will say this, you got to keep in mind, this is based on a play.
And
written, yeah.
I don't know if it
I think it was.
I think McDonough wrote it. I think he wrote it straight as a screenplay.
I thought he based it from a play.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, let's research that real quick.
I don't think he did. If it was, it was his play, but I don't think he wrote that play. But, yeah, the ending didn't exactly stick for me, and...
Why not? What about it?
Because I don't want to give it away.
All right.
I thought
maybe I'm wrong.
No, it just said you're written by Martin McDonagh.
Right. Well, I don't know why I thought that, but anyway.
But they didn't stick the landing for me totally. I just thought that was kind of like, okay, we're graduating to that. All right.
Well, see, I thought it was excellent because I thought it closed it out. I think if we talked about it, you'll see where I thought it closed it out, which you thought it maybe did not for you.
And then also it got the movie for me. It's a dark movie, but it's also very funny.
Yeah, it's got a lot of tones.
But what happens is when the twist happens, it does shift. And I was just like, oh, I was enjoying it more when it was more black comedy, and now it's just... oppressively dark. Okay. And I was just like, eh. So I liked it. I just didn't love it.
And also, we have not mentioned that Peter Dinklage also...
Peter Dinklage, John Hawks is in it. Great. Yeah. And Lucas Hedges, who was Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, he's a great cast.
He's also great in Lady Bird, too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's in that, too.
So that's a great cast. That's my number two. My number three. My number two, Shape of Water.
Shape of Water. Okay.
Which we both loved, and we all know what our number one is.
Right. Well, I didn't do my number two yet. Oh. So back off, bitch.
What's your number two?
My number
two. It's not Spider-Man.
It's not Logan. It's not mine. My number two is a film that took over 30 years to hit screens, and it was directed by Denis Villeneuve, and it's Blade Runner 2049.
I was not going to dare put that on my list.
That movie...
It's a great movie.
It blew me away. It was so good. If Deakins doesn't win for best cinematography this year...
I know you like the original, but this is leaps and bounds.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. I'm somebody... Like, I like the original, but I'm somebody who will freely admit this is better than the original.
Ridley Scott eat your heart out on this one.
Well, he claims he's behind a lot of the great This is Denis Villeneuve and Roger Deakins
who we've been touting for since a few years
Prisoners,
now
that, since that Prisoners
he's,
right
he's one of my favorite directors right. and he and Nolan
yeah
I don't even know who to pick
yeah
like, they're so
I
good.
Mean he Denis Villeneuve is so great and he does such a great job with this. Ryan Gosling is fantastic in this.
It's no Drive performance, but he's got a lot more words.
No, he's got a lot more words. Harrison Ford is great in this.
Yeah, he is.
Harrison Ford, I mean, like, is actually looks like he cares in this movie.
Harrison Ford is Harrison Ford in Blade Runner.
Robin Wright is great with her part. Jared Leto he's a little weird, but he's an odd
performance.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
But he's good.
Edward James almost comes back for a like
he pops in, yeah. But Ana de Armas is great as Ryan Gosling's girlfriend.
Yep. Very heartbreaking.
Yeah, we won't go into any spoilers with that.
But yeah, that clearly made my
And the other I'm trying to pull up the other actress, I forget her name. The girl who played Love.
Who was that? I kept confusing her with someone else in the movie.
Sylvia Hoeks.
Okay.
And she's great as Love, who's she's a replicant. And then also Dave Bautista. is really good in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And
he plays a strong man, huh?
Yes. But yeah, Blade Runner. It is long. It's a long movie.
That kind of killed it for me.
Right. It's long, but for me, it was totally engrossing, and I thought
it's a really good movie. It really does. The amazing thing about what Villeneuve does here is for a movie, talking about the original, mm-hmm. this touted so much as creating this new universe.
Right.
This just takes that new universe
and expands it.
Expands it right. And puts you right in the middle of
right.
it. So that you're not like just even looking at a universe going, oh, that's new, that's neat.
Right.
But you're in it, and it's great.
And then
I love the scene with the giant spider. That at the end comes
different Denny Villeneuve movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. But the spider is a man. I don't know.
It was his wife.
Yeah.
But Blade Runner, it's out on Blu-ray now. Definitely check out Blade Runner if you like sci-fi noir.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing. It's so good. I think I saw it like 3 times in the theater. I loved it that much.
I mean, that's 9 hours you'll never get back. 10 hours even though you're...
So that's my number 2.
It sounds like our number 1s are in sync then.
Same time, ready? 1, 2, 3. Last Jedi.
We finished each other's sandwiches.
It is not the Last Jedi, not by a mile.
It is our other favorite director.
Yes, Christopher Nolan.
Dunkirk. With someone else who really, really loved that movie here today.
Shut up, Shannon. So we did our episode on Dunkirk back in the summer, and we just
gushed
about it. It was so
like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Yeah, it was amazing what he did with the cinematography and everything.
We used the word immersed before in Blade Runner.
Right,
that word is almost it's a whole new meaning here.
Yeah.
Forget that word for how we used it before. No, this immerses you in war story.
Yeah, puts you there. Yeah. And it's more about the experiential aspect of the film.
The word I constantly use is visceral.
Right.
For this movie.
It's as opposed to doing like a Saving Private Ryan type thing where they pick these guys and tell this story about the war. No, it's about Dunkirk.
Which again, Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, fantastic! War story. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying this is not your father's.
What I really loved about this movie is because he did it so different, like such an experimental way,
mm-hmm.
and killed it.
Yeah,
it worked. I don't know that. Alexa wanted to chime in on that for a second there, but I guess she decided not to.
I hate that thing.
I keep expecting to hear Leslie Jones or someone. So every time I use Alexa now, but it was done so differently, and the way that he told 3 stories that were the same, but 3 stories and how they come in and cross intersect each other through different time periods, time frames, I should say, and. He made that work, and he did that out of necessity in order to tell the story.
Right.
But to his credit, he figured out a way to do it.
Right.
Masterfully.
Right.
And Nolan is just can do no wrong.
Yeah, he can do no wrong. Amazing. Because Jordan Peele did a really good job with Get Out, but I mean, the only director I can accept beating him at the Oscars is Del Toro for this year.
Yeah.
If Nolan doesn't win it, that's kind of shitty.
It's an amazing film.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our number one.
Do
we recap or do we do that?
Yeah. Well, we can do honorable mention.
All right. So honorable mention. I don't know how many we do. I have a slew, so I don't know how many we normally.
I already mentioned a few of mine because a few of mine were on your list.
And I mentioned a few of mine.
Right.
On the list, Spiderman, Logan.
Right.
Guardians is in there at the very bottom. Because I do like it almost as much as the first one.
Right.
But, it is still... There is some rehash in there. Yeah. So it's never going to make my best of list, even though the original one did.
Right.
But that's in there. The Darkest Hour we talked about, that's in there.
One of mine is a movie we saw just recently. Hostiles. This is a movie that completely flew under the radar.
Yeah.
It didn't come out till very late in the year. This is Christian Bale as a Union soldier.
I forgot that. I thought that opened in January.
No,
I forgot.
No, that, I didn't no, that came out. That came
I
out,
didn't even consider that a 2017
that came out
movie.
That came out limited
it
release
It wouldn't have made my
year.
List of...
It's
great.
It's a great, great Western.
It's a very, true Western.
Yeah. Very long.
Yeah,
it's
it
very
long.
Long.
Well,
very,
it's not Blade Runner long.
Right. It's not Blade Runner long. It's very drawn out. It's very deliberate.
It
but it's
but, well,
it's
but that's
excellent.
What makes it a true
right.
Western. That's what it is.
Rosamund Pike's in this. She's great. Wes Studi's in this. I'll probably have a review up for this very soon.
It's a really good movie.
It's but it was excellent.
Who was the director?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Oh, it's Scott Cooper.
Cooper.
Scott
Cooper,
who did
Cooper,
Out of the Furnace.
Who, yes, Out of the
and
Furnace.
Did,
yeah.
And did...
which was... We were really looking
Crazy
forward
Heart.
To and kind of...
Yeah, and that didn't... That
it,
didn't
it was
land.
Because
I think that was a little bait and switch.
Yeah. Which also Christian Bale.
Yeah. Yeah. And Christian Bale, I mean, he was fantastic in Hostiles.
It's
really, really good.
Yeah, very, very well-rounded dimensional character there.
Big Sick. That's another one
I got
my
that one
mentions.
On mine.
Yeah, that was a great, funny, funny movie.
I just watched it recently.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Past couple months and yeah, hilarious.
It's so funny.
Very
so funny.
Funny. I put the post on here. It was never going to make my list.
Yeah.
Because we know why.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah,
Tom Hanks.
That son of a bitch. When's he going to get his comeuppance? Where's his sexual harassment claim?
I think that would destroy the world.
It
if
would.
That happened,
everything would implode.
If you found out like Tom Hanks was like some
nah, not a fan
or
of Meryl Streep, as we all know.
Yeah,
but it's a really good movie.
It's really,
really Odenkirk.
Good. Yeah, he was
great.
Great, he was
movie.
Great. Yeah.
Another one. Beginning of the year, A Monster Calls.
Yeah. Oh, see, I included that last year. That was on my list for because
oh,
it
okay.
was technically.
Oh, was that technically?
Yeah, that was technically
okay.
a 2016.
Never mind. Never mind.
Yeah, I put that because I put that on my list. That was on my list.
Oh, maybe I did. Oh. Yeah, maybe I did. I'm sorry. I was going through the list.
That director is directing the new Jurassic World that comes out this summer.
Oh,
J.
okay.
That's
an interesting trailer. Everyone was looking at going, oh my God, it looks so great. I'm like, did you see Jurassic World? I will reserve my comment for later. Thank you. It's like, explain to me why they need to save these dinosaurs again. They can clone them. They know how to clone them. Why do they have to... I'm sorry. I digress. This is the last one on my list that I kept flip-flopping. Mm-hmm. I wanted to replace it with It. Then I pulled back. And again, I went with It because I saw it more times.
Right.
But this movie, I really, really wanted to include on my list.
Transformers 5.
Transformers 5. No, a movie you didn't see. It's called Killing of a Sacred Deer.
I did see that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did see that.
Okay, finally. So
yeah.
You saw
yeah.
somewhat of a horror movie. It's considered.
I guess.
Yeah, it's more of a thriller, but it's a horror. It's
It's fucked up
it's
for
got
sure.
Sci-fi element
yeah.
in there. I thought
yeah,
great.
Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere.
Which they didn't explain, which I love.
They really didn't.
Which
yeah,
I love.
They
didn't need to explain it, but yeah, it's yeah. it's. No, this is Nicole Kidman and
Colin Farrell.
And who directed this?
Yorgos Lanthimos, something like that. The guy who did The Lobster.
The Lobster guy. Yeah.
And Barry
which
Keoghan.
We love The Lobster.
Yeah, and Barry Keoghan, who is the kid, was also in Dunkirk.
Oh, that's right.
He was the kid on the
right.
boat.
I did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's him.
That's
yeah.
cool. But yeah, I love
he
this movie.
He
kind of
looks like Ty Sheridan.
I love this movie. I liked it a lot when I watched it.
Yeah.
But it's one of these movies that grew on me afterwards because you really think.
It's really fucked up.
And it's really fucked up and you start thinking it's about it. And you start thinking about all the different pieces. And
right.
Anyway, I loved it.
The last one.
Kind of a character study of a movie.
Right. Last, like I said, Wind River.
How are you doing it?
Wind River.
The day is mine.
Wind River was just about to make my list. That was the flip-flopping. Hostiles, I mentioned. Big Sick. War for the Planet of the Apes. Trainspotting 2. Stronger was also my honorable mentions list with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Didn't see Stronger.
About the guy who lost his legs. He lost his legs in the Boston Marathon bombing. And really good. He's in that. Your girl, Tatiana.
I guess some lines just shouldn't be crossed.
Your girl, Tatiana.
Thank you, Anthony Jeselnik.
See you next month. Tatiana Maslany.
Oh, yeah,
from Black was in
Black,
it. She
yeah.
was really good in it. Jake Gyllenhaal, really great in it. This movie just kind of like, again, flew under the radar. It was really good.
I want to see this one, and I definitely want to see Brad Status.
Yeah, it was really good. I know you're probably going to watch Brad Status.
I do. I will definitely see Lady Bird at some point,
yeah.
And I'm sure it's great. It didn't grab me as one I really gravitate towards.
So why don't you run yours down one last time?
So 10, It. 9, It Comes at Night. 8, Trainspotting 2. 7, Get Out. 6, War for the Planet of the Apes. 5, Wind River. 4, Baby Driver. 3, Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri. 2, Shape of Water. And 1, Dunkirk.
And mine was Darkest Hour at 10, Lady Bird, Coco, Spider-Man Homecoming, Baby Driver, Logan, Brad Status, Shape of Water, Blade Runner 2049, and also number 1, Dunkirk. Despite what
I mean,
my friend Michael
you
Shannon
can tell the difference in our movie taste because Doug puts the lighthearted Coco on the list, and I have it.
Doug usually seems to have a cartoon on his top 10 list.
And Luke, here enters Luke, whose also favorite movie was Dunkirk.
I'm not going to boo it because, I mean, a lot of men died, and it's a great story, but the movie just didn't...
Bored the hell out of me.
It bored the hell out of me for 2 hours.
Well, then get the hell out of my house.
Just because you don't enjoy the movie doesn't mean you don't appreciate the military
the
service
those
of,
people made.
Of our men.
Exactly.
Service.
I just don't appreciate the movie made about the
right.
military service.
Right.
Get that back!
Right.
It's the Brits.
So, yeah, there it is, folks.
There it is.
Here's the
that's our best of 2017.
Only two lists you need to worry
that's
about.
That's the only two
that's
lists
it.
You need to worry
don't
about.
Don't worry about it.
That's right.
Oscar schmoskers.
Fuck them.
And on that note,
next episode, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to, you know, try and forecast ahead, but it's going to be Black Panther. So Black Panther opens this weekend. Yeah. So that'll be it. So that'll do it. Thanks for stopping by, Luke.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for not inviting me.
Well, in theory, you were invited.
I was invited.
To the premises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.